Hello, everyone. Just a quick word before we get started with this week's episode. We want to tell you that we're putting on a show in conjunction with the Everett Music Initiative up in Everett, Washington, at the Anchor Pub on April 20th. Yeah, that's right, 4/20. Awesome, right? You like how I just left a little space for you to just think about it just for a second? It's going to be a great show. The Young Evils are going to be there, as well as the Learning Team. So come on up, 4/20 at the Anchor Pub in Everett. All right, on with the show. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Okay.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
This is episode 138.
It's not an accident at all.
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
Then you have sexually transmitted crazy mouth. Deal breaker.
Indeed. I am your host, Aaron Roden.
I love the woman who wasn't clean.
And this, of course, is a show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. We've got a very special program for you guys this week. Adam Zaks, the founder, the creator, what else can you say? What else can you say about this guy? Chief talent buyer of the Sasquatch Music Festival. Will be joining us shortly here in Dining Room Studios. We've also got a special friend here today, David Usling. Will be joining us as well to talk about his new business, Soul Seattle. Very cool space there in Belltown. Right before we say hi to Dave, I'm sorry. This is going up late. The daylight savings time thing happened. I know that's not really a valid excuse, but it did happen. It did happen, people, and we all have to come to grips with it, and we have to say to ourselves, yes, we're tired, but we will go on. We will go on. All right. So something we haven't done before, well, we haven't done it for a little while. We've got a guest in here right now during the monologue, David Usling.
Hello.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Get right up on that thing.
Right up front.
Yeah, right up front. We want you loud and clear.
Yes.
You run a small business here in Seattle that just kind of got started, right?
I do.
Called
yes.
Soul Seattle.
It's an event space in Belltown, Seattle.
Yeah, yeah. And it's awesome because that's where I went for the small intimate setting show with Chris Orlowski and Ivan and Alyosha. And that's where I was introduced to Ivan and Alyosha as well.
That's
it was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. Blake Noble and Shelby Earle, additionally,
right?
At
yes.
the showcase.
Yes, yes. Always love some Shelby Earle.
And the Ivan and Alyosha just released their new album.
Yeah.
They're kicking off their tour.
Yeah, pretty dude. They're doing good stuff, man. Big things.
We're really, really pleased to have them come by our studio and be our first event that we had.
Yeah, dude. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys do for Soul Seattle.
Soul Seattle is an event space in Belltown, as I mentioned, and we're really focused on curating small events in Seattle, things that we see opportunity for, such as dinner dialogues, yoga classes, bro yoga. That's something that we've been
bro
looking
yoga?
At. Bro yoga.
What is bro yoga? Just dudes that go and do yoga?
Well, you got to bring a dude teacher in to tell the dudes to stop thinking about whatever it is that dudes think about when they're doing yoga. So it's someone that's not afraid to talk about farting and really helping the guys just kind of get into their positions, I suppose.
A lot of open windows in the studio.
There is some serious open windows during bro yoga. we can't have any overlap with bro yoga in like a dinner event, though.
Right. Yeah, you got to air it out after that.
But basically, we're just focused on having small events. It's about 1,500 square feet, 15-foot ceilings. Focused on kind of exposing and having a platform for Seattle creative endeavors, whether it's cooking classes, we have a full built-out kitchen in there, or small semi-acoustic music concerts, such as the one you attended.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting. We just opened it up in the last couple months, and we've had a couple dinner dialogues, and we've had some birthday parties. It's a great place to have a birthday party.
Yeah.
And
well, it's got a full kitchen,
yes,
right?
Dishwasher,
everything in there that you would need for a large scale party like that.
Yes. Yeah. Additionally, we're also set up so that you can do productions in there if you want to do cooking
classes and things like that. Yeah,
for web series or for photography, studio photography work. So
nice.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. And when did you guys open your doors?
We opened our doors basically the first event that you attended, second week of December.
Okay.
And we've just officially finished the website in the last few weeks.
Yeah, where can we find that?
That would be soulseattle.com.
Yeah, it's a beautiful website. It's a beautiful space too, man. Like
Thank you.
Guys have got that place locked down. It is very nice.
We had someone in there the other day, and they said it feels like New York. Because you can
it does.
See,
it's very lofty.
Yes,
you know. And, well, it is. It's considered a loft.
And
right?
we actually use that quote on our website because that is actually the highest compliment you could pay us.
Yeah, yeah.
Our space feels like New York.
Yeah, dude.
We are big New York-ophiles. I don't know. Try to get there every once in a while and be inspired. Yeah. And
I have never been there. I need to go.
You will enjoy it.
Yeah,
you will have an amazing dinner at 4 a.m.
That's right.
You'll see some great shows, and you'll see some great views, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just need somebody to come and babysit my daughter for like 3-4 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and congratulations on your new baby, too, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. How's that going so far?
2.5 weeks old now.
Oh, man.
Starting to figure out the sleeping schedule.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yep.
That's definitely a tough one. Now, do you run your run a production company out of that space too,
we
right?
do. It doubles as our editing center. We get together with our creative team. We have a production company, Soul Riders, and we're focused on adventure lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
Right now we're focused on skiing. Our team just got back from India after spending 3 weeks there, 2 full weeks of skiing, 4 days of heli skiing, and then a couple days in Delhi in the Taj. So we're really excited to get that footage and start editing it.
Dude. Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And so you're going to be going. You're going to be going to Sasquatch as well, right?
Absolutely.
With this production company,
we will be going there, and we will be doing short interviews with some of the artists, and kind of taking pictures, and kind of giving people that can't go kind of first-person experience as far as what it would be like to go with us.
That's great. Yeah. Well.
I'll see you there, right?
Yeah, you'll see me there again this year. It was fun hanging out with you guys last year. But we need to register apparently.
Yes.
Soon.
We'll have our people take care of that.
Yeah, exactly. My people being me. Yeah. Well, let's do this. David, thank you so much for stopping by, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and we're going to go to our first musical break here. We're going to be featuring one of the bands that's going to be at Sasquatch 2013. Which is already sold out, but I am positive that you guys can probably find tickets for this somewhere. It may not be legal, but you can probably find it. We're going to be featuring music by the band Japan Droids, which are awesome. And if you are going to Sasquatch, you're going to love this band, if you don't already. This song is called Younger Us, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with very special guest, the founder and runner of things at Sasquatch, Adam Zaks. All right, stay with us, everybody. All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Dining Room Studios. That was Japan Droids with the song Younger Us, who will be sharing the stage at the Sasquatch Music Festival. And sitting here joining me in the Dining Room Studios is Mr. Adam Zaks, the founder and what do you say? Owner?
I don't say anything, but
nothing.
If pressed, founder and producer.
Okay, okay. That's very impressive. Well, welcome, sir. Thanks for coming by. Did you have a busy day today?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Well, I'm glad that you're continuing your day with me. I had somewhat of a funny day today. Well, of course, went to my real job where I actually get paid. And then for lunch, I was getting a little parched, so I stopped at a 7-Eleven for a soda. And as I walked in, I was like dusting dirt off my pants. And I looked up, and the dude standing behind the counter had his pinky finger two knuckles deep straight up his nose. And we locked eyes on each other. I swear to God, this is the honest to God truth. And we locked eyes together, and he just looked at me with his finger up his nose with just this look of like, well, I guess this is happening. And he didn't take it out. He didn't take it out. And he was wearing these like rubber gloves. Apparently he doesn't like to, latex gloves, doesn't like to touch anybody else, but he'll stick it up his nose.
Yeah. That's a wonderful story.
Yeah. Anything like that happen to you today?
Well, I enjoy when people feel like they're invisible in a car.
Right. Oh, so that's, God.
Similar to that story. Maybe it's the same way when you're working at a convenience store.
Well, that's what I was thinking about as I was, because I do a lot of driving for my job too. And I'm going to say it. I'm a nose picker. Sometimes stuff gets up there. I work outside. There's dust. You know, you gotta clear the passageway, you know. I can't necessarily get two knuckles deep up there, but you know, I mean, it's a necessary human function. And I was wondering, I was like, I do a lot of driving, and I wonder how many times people have seen me in my truck just like going at it, you know, or singing, or you know, or brushing my mustache with my little mustache comb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad this came up. I know for a fact I've been busted.
With what? With your finger up your nose?
Yeah, one knuckle deep at least.
One knuckle?
Yeah.
That's it. That's doable. Yeah. That's not too bad. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm wondering, like, if you're... So, what? I mean, if you're standing... Like, okay, car's one thing, right? But if you are working at an establishment where you have to take money from people... You know, things like that. Like, if you're the guy that I saw today at 7-Eleven, what do you do in that situation? You get busted. You're standing there with your pinky straight up your nose. What do you do?
Just pinky?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was pinky.
Yeah. He gets flare points for using the pinky. I would give him the slow clap, standing ovation.
Just like, wow.
Yeah.
I wish I could get mine that far out.
I wish
there.
I was that comfortable with myself just to be out there picking. Why not?
Are you rethinking this whole journey up here to Dining Room Studios? Should we change the subject?
We can.
I just had to get that out there because it was I've been literally chuckling to myself all day because of just the look on his face was just priceless. And that's something people take pictures of their fucking food and they put it up on Instagram and on their Facebook pages. We need more pictures of instances like that up on Instagram. That's way more important than what you're having for dinner.
I'd put money on it that exists.
I'm going to have to do some searching.
Pause the interview.
Let's
get to the bottom of this.
We're going to our second musical break. We'll be right. No. Well, welcome, sir. Let's change the subject. So, you also work for What's your normal job day to day?
I work for the Seattle Theater Group.
Ah, that's okay. And what do you do there?
My title is the Senior Director of Programming, which means I oversee all the programming that happens at the three historic theaters.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The Paramount, the Moore, and the Neptune.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you actually like book the shows, or are you just kind of the, I don't know, and this is no slight on your actual position, but kind of the manager of like of those three venues then?
I do both. So I book a lot of concerts and comedy, and then I manage like the Broadway and fine arts programming and rentals and private events. There are other people that handle those things, and I work with them to help it all happen.
Yeah. So that's the Paramount, the Neptune, and the Guild?
The Moore.
The Moore. Yeah. Well, of course, yeah. That's awesome, man. It sounds like, I mean, how long have you been doing that?
I've been there a little over 5 years.
Yeah. Cool. Is it kind of like a dream job?
It is. It melds a lot of my varied interests.
Yeah.
And it's a nonprofit organization, so it's very different than other companies I've worked for in a lot of ways. And I have a strong interest in historic preservation and old buildings and architecture in general. And so this presented a unique opportunity to still promote concerts and be involved with keeping old buildings alive.
Oh, cool, man. Have you always been really into music? I mean, I would gather that you have.
Yeah.
Since this is what you went
for
to.
For sure, from very early on, without any doubt or hesitation.
Yeah. Did you ever like play in bands or anything? Are you a musician at all?
I am a musician. I played in high school jazz bands and you know, crappy party bands, but nothing real. But I played trombone until I got asthma. This is painting a wonderful picture of myself.
Yeah, totally.
And then I switched up to drums and
You're a drummer?
Yeah.
Man. I have always wanted to be a drummer, but I don't know, I just don't have like the coordination for it.
Well, anyone can be a drummer. You don't need a license, so you're good.
Yeah. I don't even have to get any paperwork.
Right. And now I play mostly guitar and some piano.
Oh, nice.
Guitar is the easiest thing to lug around.
Yeah. Now you're a father too, right?
Right.
Got two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Are they both girls?
No, older is a girl and younger is a boy.
Oh, okay. Now, have you tried to like push them into like doing music and stuff? Because they're a little bit old. They're a little bit older, right?
They're 13 and 9.
13 and 9. Okay.
And we force them to do everything against their will.
That's not what I, you know what I mean. You know what I mean, right?
I know what you mean. And music is such a big part of our lives. We're just surrounded by it constantly that it was sort of inevitable that they would be exposed to it and hopefully be interested in it.
Yeah,
so we didn't push them in any direction, just open opportunities for them.
Did they end up wanting to learn an instrument or anything like that?
They're both very into all different types of music, but less interested in performing. Like they can play a little piano, and my daughter can sing her ass off, but isn't into like public performance, which is kind of a relief. But I love that they both listen to all kinds of different music and don't have the weird stigma that all of us seem to growing up about.
Yeah.
You know, these people listen to heavy metal and these people listen to pop music and you're an asshole if you like this kind of music. Like they just don't have any of that, which is maybe culture has changed, but I'm just proud of the fact that they kind of take it all in.
Uh-huh. Where were you in the 90s?
I was in, well, in the 90s, I guess I was in college in Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Olympia prior to that.
Okay. Because I was wondering if like what you just said struck a chord with me, because I was totally that way, especially in the 90s, where it was like, it's, you know, it's only alternative, quote unquote, grunge music or nothing, right?
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that was kind of unique to Seattle, or was that kind of an everywhere thing in the 90s? I don't know.
I would guess it manifests itself in sort of a different variation of that everywhere.
Yeah.
And probably it still does exist in a big way still today. But
you think so? I think it's more open now.
I do too, and I'm hopeful that things are pointing in that direction. I feel like they are, but it might be different here in Seattle than other places.
Yeah, because and I think a large part of that too is like the festival circuit that has kind of started within. I don't know. I mean, there's always been music festivals and things, but they haven't been as popular as they are now. Until what, the last like 12 years maybe or so. How old is Lollapalooza? That's actually like 20 years, right?
Probably about right. Yeah.
So maybe around that time, where you get like all sorts of different kinds of music all in one place, and people are really open about liking it because they're all drunk and high.
Yes. Well, I remember it was really striking when that first Lollapalooza came out. I think here it was at Kitsap County Fairgrounds. And it was like, at the time it felt wildly diverse. Like it was just like, it really stood out. It was like Ice-T and Body Count and Jane's Addiction, of course. Mm-hmm. They're like most interesting. And I'm forgetting who else, but it was like a really crazy mix of people. And there was like Social Action was a big part of it, and Jim Rose piercing shit and hanging bricks off your face. And all that was like really exciting and different. And so I think that did open up people to like being okay with liking different things.
It's got to be kind of like the gateway, at least a little bit.
It was definitely a culture shift.
So what made you want to get into doing festivals? And explain to me how this all started. How Sasquatch kind of came to be.
Well, in college at the University of Oregon, I started learning how to do booking there. Uh-huh. And
just booking for like small venues and things
like
that.
Yeah, and on campus there was a ballroom, and we did shows in there. And actually my very first show was awesome and totally was a fluke. It was Rage Against the Machine and Public Enemy.
Shut up. That's your first show?
My first show that I promoted on my own. And it was kind of, it was luck. It wasn't anything else but that. But they were the opening acts on U2's Zoo TV tour. And between Vancouver and San Francisco or something, they were traveling through Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah.
And so they wanted a place to play. And
that's insane.
So yeah, that was I didn't know what I was doing at all. And so it was an awesome way to learn by fire.
Were you nervous about that? I mean, they were kind of big. What year was that?
That was 91. Yeah.
So were they, I mean, Rage Against the Machine probably weren't as big.
They were just breaking.
They were just starting to break out in 91.
Yeah.
So were you pretty nervous about that? Like putting together this thing and having to meet these guys and make sure they're...
I was stoked. I had huge balls for no reason. The Public Enemy dudes, they were so awesome. They had these Soldiers of Islam with them as their security crew.
Really?
And so they were these like... enormous guys in fatigues.
Oh my god, dude.
And I just strolled right in. Yeah. Like, what's up, guys? And like, I had no reason to be that confident rolling into that situation, but I did learn an awful lot doing it. But those years promoting in college, I were sort of the germs of building a festival, and I had something there called the Oregon Grind, which is maybe not the best name in the world, but it is a name, and they might still do it. There might be a line item in the budget down there where they still produce this thing. I know it was going for a few years, but that was sort of the beginning of like thinking about what a festival could be.
So the Grind was like a small on-campus festival that you would put together or something?
Yeah, I think maybe we had 6,000 or 7,000 people there, and Jimmy Cliff was the headliner. And
oh, wow.
A lot of local bands that, you know, at the time, Cherry Pop and Daddies were the biggest thing going in Eugene, and they played. And it was cool. It was a fun deal. And so that was really the start of me thinking about festivals. And then I had a couple failed or mediocre attempts at doing something similar in Portland, Oregon, where I worked after college. And then very soon after moving up to Seattle in 2001, I just walked in to my boss's office with an idea and said, I really want to book something at the Gorge. Here's what I'm thinking, and here's the name. What do you think? And he paused for maybe 3 seconds and said, yeah. So I owe a lot to him for
taking that chance. Where were you working at that time?
At the time, it was called House of Blues Concerts.
Okay. So that's now Live Nation, right? Did that that get enveloped into Live Nation or something? Or
yeah, the company that has booked the Gorge has been like it's gone under several different names: MCA, then Universal, and House of Blues, Live Nation, and probably something else in a few years. Who knows? But throughout the whole time, it's been the same person booking it.
Just so your old boss,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, so I owe a lot to him for saying for trusting me and you know, give me a budget to do it, and it was really successful right away. And again, for not really any great reason, it was the best lineup in the world. The marketing was okay. I guess it was good enough because it sold out in advance.
Well, that one, the first one, sold out too.
It did.
And who was the headliner? Like
Ben Harper and the String Cheese Incident.
Are you serious?
And actually, Jack Johnson, kind of just as he was coming out. So it was like a totally different flavor.
Okay,
it was not like a fully realized vision whatsoever. Uh-huh. It was just sort of whoever we could convince into doing this thing for the first time at the Gorge. And, you know, once it worked, then we spent a lot more time crafting what it could be and should be. And it's developed a lot over the past 12 years into a 4-day festival with a much different programming flavor.
That sold out in, so all 4 days are sold out?
Yeah.
Right? Sold out in the first hour of it going open.
Yeah, I mean, there's a but because with every concert now, there's like a presale and a presale for the presale.
Oh, okay.
So what we did is we put a chunk of tickets on sale before or on Black Friday on Thanksgiving weekend.
Okay. I think I got an email about that.
Yeah, you probably did.
Yeah.
You'll never get off that email list.
I know. I'm on so many of those. Yeah, yeah.
So those tickets go on sale with no lineup announcements, just for people that trust that we won't fuck it up and want to make sure they get their tickets. And then that gets cut off on December 31st. And so between December 31st and the second weekend of February, when we went on sale to the general public, there were tickets were not on sale. So then they go on sale again with the lineup announced, and they sold out in an hour.
Man, that's insane. Still, I mean, that's super impressive. I mean, it's a 4-day concert with a ton of bands. How many bands?
120.
Jesus, 120 bands at a area that can hold like what 70,000 people or something like that. Or is it that is it not that much?
It's 27,500 per day.
Okay, that's still quite a lot of heads.
It's
in that place.
Yeah, it is definitely a lot of people, but if you compare it to bigger festivals like Coachella or Bonnaroo that are 80,000 plus, it's still a relatively small festival, even though 27,500 people is a small city still.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a lot to sell out that quickly too. But so what was the first Sasquatch like? So it was. What was it, 2 days or something like that?
It was one day, two stages.
Oh, that was it?
That was it.
Yeah. Still sold out? How many bands were at that?
I think there were 15 bands.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Man. I saw the String Cheese Incident play once down in Portland at the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first time at the Portland Convention Center, and we ended up getting a lot of mushrooms, eating a lot of mushrooms down there.
Yeah, shiitake
That kind of thing. Yeah, shiitake, brown mushrooms, you know, just regular portobellos. And I remember, because the string cheese incident has this whole following, you know, and they had set up in the, you know, they set up some bleachers, and then behind these bleachers was like blow up huge slides. They had to climb ladders to get up on, and then like a bouncy house for adults. And there were, I mean, there were people with tricycles all over the place that were, you know, hauling these little trailers with dudes playing the drums on the back of it, you know, and it was just so weird. And I remember sitting on those bleachers out of my mind, staring at the ceiling of this place, because it's a very industrial kind of building,
mm-hmm.
you know, once you turn the lights on, and it's just all the HVAC stuff all up there, and it looked like the Death Star. And I wasn't having fun. I don't think you can say what I was experiencing was fun at the string cheese incident. But it was for their, they were like having some 3-day, like New Year's Eve ball.
Yeah.
Down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, 6 years ago, maybe. Well, 10 years ago now, probably. Yeah. But that was nutty. That was nutty. I don't expect that you're going to get into any drug stories, so don't worry.
We can talk about anything you want, but I'm just being quiet because I don't want to say anything bad about the St. Cheese incident. And I don't have any problem bands.
Not a big fan. Not a big fan.
No, and I'm not either, and it's probably no surprise given like how the identity of Sasquatch has changed since then.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty clear that now, if I were to book them, it would be wildly out of place and
and a totally different festival.
Yeah, and not really embraced. And but at the same time, like I don't want to talk bad about any band or person or anything. I just other to say that like it just relates in no way to the festival at all now. And yet like they're an important part of the origins of it. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So what I got the chance to go visit with you and your friends up in what's the place called that you guys stay at every year?
Oh, the Cave Bee.
The Cave Bee. Yeah, that place is amazing.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, Luke took me over there last year, and like I was saying before we started recording, I felt so nervous about that because I wasn't invited. And I just kind of show up, and I think your wife, like when we walked in, she said hi to Luke, and she goes, "Who are you?" I was like, "Oh, hi, I'm Aaron," and I'm wearing, you know, my press bracelet and stuff, and I just felt totally out of place. But it was beautiful. But I was like, when I saw that, I was like, "This is how you do the festival. This is how you go to a music festival," because. I think it's an age thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, last year, like the dust was getting to me, man. And I was just like, I was hacking. I felt it like caused like some serious allergies in me and stuff. And I'm like, this year I'm going to bring some Claritin. I gotta think ahead a little bit, but are you of the mind now, that like the festival, do festivals still kind of ring your bell a little bit? Would you still go to Sasquatch if you were not putting it on?
Yeah, I totally
had to
would.
Camp?
I would. I go to lots of other festivals.
Do you really?
And I love it. And I would probably get an RV.
Yeah,
I probably wouldn't camp.
Good idea. See, there you go.
And it's more to do with the comfort for sure, but the noise.
Yeah,
It's even in. There are separate areas in the campground where you could, where it's quieter and more private and a little more space more adults congregate. But still it's kind of noisy. So, if you're older and you want to get a little bit of sleep, then I would say an RV is probably the way to go. That's what I would do.
Hmm, that's a good idea. I'm going to bounce that off some people. All right, well, we're going to take our second musical break here. We are featuring music by one of the bands that will be at Sasquatch this year. This is Japan Droids. out of, I think, Vancouver, BC?
You're correct.
There? Yes, okay. I'm looking forward to seeing these guys again. Really, really enjoyed seeing them down. They played a free show at the Mural Theater for or Mural Amphitheater for KXP a couple years ago. This one's called Young Hearts Spark off of their Young Hearts Spark Fire off their 2009 release Post Nothing, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with Adam Zax. Stay with us. Welcome back. That was Young Hearts Spark Fire by the band Pandroids, which will be at Sasquatch this year. I would urge all of you, if you have tickets, go and check out the lineup for this year's festival, SasquatchFestival.com. And when is the festival, Adam?
May 24th through the 27th, Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, there you go. 4 days. When did you guys start the four-day thing? Was that just last year?
I think this is the fourth year, I think.
Oh, fourth year. Okay.
Third or fourth year.
Yeah.
They are starting to blend together.
I would imagine, man. I'd imagine. So one thing we were talking about before we went to the musical break there was, I don't know, if you as a person now, as an older man and as a father, if you would go to these festivals now. And one thing, because I hadn't been to a music festival of that magnitude for a long time before last year. And, large crowds of people kind of, they grate on me a little bit. They grate on my emotional levels. But I had so much fun last year, even, you know, besides being kind of sick. It was such a great time. And I found one thing was super, super interesting to me. Like, being an older person now and being able to kind of reflect on all the young people at these things, because it's definitely, music festivals are definitely a majority of young ones, you know, maybe like mid-20s to late teens, I would say. A lot of different styles of clothing that I had never seen before. A lot of face paint. Face paint was in, uh-huh. You know. I just found that fascinating. And I'm waiting for somebody to kind of make a book about festival culture.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything you can say about festival culture that you've noticed over the years doing these things? Like anything that's kind of, you know, sparked you as weird or interesting about large groups of people gathering?
Yeah. Well, there are a ton of things. I love that there's this sort of this collective rulemaking, I guess, that sort of happens. Like, hey, this is not a cool way to be here at Sasquatch. That's not how we do things. Even though we've never posted like specific rules around how people should carry themselves, other than, you know, no, don't bring in knives or things like that.
Right.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is this culture has developed on its own based on people sort of just deciding that this is how this is how you should be at this festival.
Yeah. It almost becomes its own society, right?
Yeah. In some ways, not to overstate it, but yes, there is some of that. Yeah. And for some people more than others, but along with that, and because of social media and all that, people have created their own things like Animal Day. They come dressed up as animals, or Unicorn Day, or Superhero Day. There's maybe 100 people that dress up as, what's the guy in the striped shirt? Waldo.
Oh, Waldo. Yeah, I saw a lot of Waldos last year.
Yeah.
A lot of Waldos.
Which is hilarious and awesome. And had that been something we tried to like organize on an official level, it would have just been lame. But right. Because it happens naturally, it's awesome. Yeah. So there's a lot of that. And I love that and just think it's totally good, clean, fun. As far as I can tell,
I'm going to go out on a ledge here saying that there's not a lot of clean fun. Well, there's a lot of clean fun, but there's also a lot of unclean fun going on at these festivals.
I would say that's true of planet Earth. So I would, by extension, yes.
Well, there you go. Sasquatch becomes its own society. Okay. It mimics its own small planet.
Yeah. Okay.
Whatever you say, Aaron. Yeah. So, I lost my train of thought. That was a good question too. the fact that I can go back and take all of this out is wonderful. Let's see. What was I thinking of? Shoot. Oh yeah. Okay. 1, 2, 3. So when the festival comes around, is your work done? Can you just enjoy the fruits of your labor at that point? Or are you still working during the festivities?
I'm definitely still working, and which is kind of a drag because all this lead up, all this preparation.
I
don't, I never get to fully enjoy it as an attendee, which is not really a complaint because I feel incredibly fortunate to be able to even do this.
Yeah.
But it would be wonderful to enjoy it without any responsibilities. So,
yeah. Can't you hire somebody to like,
yeah, there's a totally qualified staff, and it's almost all the same people that I've been doing it this entire time,
or really
for a good chunk of the time anyway. So it's all a really familiar bunch of people that sort of have learned incrementally over the year how to do things better. But I'm generally the holder of all sorts of minutia and information. So I just need to at any time be ready to answer questions. So it's a lot of that. It's not as if it could probably run fine if I wasn't even there, to be honest. Someone could just email me with a question and things would be fine. But it's not the way I operate. And so I'm just sort of, it's sort of like, it's not like being a doctor at all, but in this way it is. It's like a doctor is always on call. So even if he's at dinner enjoying himself, there's always like in his consciousness, like got to be prepared to dive into some drama or answer a question or that kind of thing.
Yeah, I get that. We've I'm good friends with Jim DeMonacos, who runs the Emerald City Comic Con, and so we go there every year as press as well, which is coming up here. Actually, this is going to go up after the Comic Con is over, so never mind. but he's got like one of those, I don't know, it's like a I don't know, like almost overalls, but it's just like Velcro, like overalls that go around his waist and over his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just stuck with radios and walkie-talkies all over it. He's got like several different walkie-talkies that he's constantly on and answering, and he's shuffling through the aisles and, you know, making sure everybody's in the right spot and that the celebrities have their, you know, craft services and things like that. Is that part of what you're having to do there as well?
No, I'm definitely not that guy. I'm the guy trying to like ditch the radio and which is probably not the best way to be. But no, I'm not that guy.
well, that's good. That's
I'd like a cool vest.
Yeah,
maybe a hat. But
maybe
no,
you should get it. Maybe
guy.
You should get a vest, man.
Maybe I should.
Yeah.
I will
embroider it with just Zacks across it, like 1980s style, like Zacks.
Yeah, that'd totally be my style.
Yeah. I see it.
Yeah, we went to Comic-Con last year.
Oh, did you?
Enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, man. And especially seeing like the costumes that's my favorite part.
Oh yeah.
Is just seeing the costumes that people come up with for that kind of stuff.
It's incredible, people watching, and it's like, it's definitely its own subculture, and it's huge. I don't even know if it's subculture anymore. Maybe it's just culture.
I think it's just pop culture because you know, lately once like geekdom became kind of, you know, a normal popular thing, like, you know, being a fan of movies kind of got rolled into it, and of TV shows you know, video games, everything kind of got rolled into being a geek. So it's no longer just about comic books and art and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's about everything. And I think that's why it's gotten so popular. And even, I mean, the Emerald City Comic Con has just exploded. Like, I think they're renting the whole Seattle Convention Center this year.
Yeah, it's huge.
The upstairs and the middle, the two upper floors and the middle floor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an enormous venue for that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So I work at the my office is at the Paramount Theater, which is a block away from the convention center.
So you get to see him walking by.
I see. Well, there's, you know, it's a rotating conventions throughout the whole year there. And around, I guess, starting soon here is the ones that are like Comic-Con and SakuraCon. Very exciting time. But also,
like, a lot of skimpy outfits.
Yeah, it's very
boots
funny.
And large swords.
There's several other packs of the Penny Arcade Expo. So there's a lot of those in that world, but then there's also like dental conventions and not, you know, ones where they don't dress up in the same way, but it's a fun game to go from the parking garage to my office play guess the convention. And then when SakuraCon or Comic-Con comes by, it's like,
you got to invent
very
a different
clear
game. Yeah. Cause everybody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are wild, man.
Totally.
I mean, yeah. I love, and a lot of people, you know, for a lot of people too, that make these, that spend all this time making these costumes and everything, when they get to Comic-Con, they are a star.
Yes.
If their costume is worth any, you know, any salt. But, I mean, they've even got, you know, they put up, Emerald City puts up these, you know, kind of photo backdrops now, you know, where people can just go and take their pictures and all the press kind of line up and take pictures of all the good costumes and stuff. And I mean, these people are, they just soak it up.
Yeah. It's
great.
Soak
it up.
Yeah. You know, what's a bummer though?
What?
So we went last year and, there were, well, we were looking around like, that is like a straight up stripper. That person is totally nude.
That's what basically. I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah.
So they're hired, right?
I'm pretty sure some of the booths hire these. Well, they're called booth babes, right?
Yeah. Well, that there's that. And then what I'm talking about, I think what these particular women were doing were they were hired by local strip clubs to like hand out their cards and stuff.
Oh,
but
really?
They're dressed as slutty superheroes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of a bummer.
It is kind of a bummer.
Is that prudish?
No, not at all. Because I, there were a couple of really good kind of slutty ones that I took a picture of last year. One with horns. She was supposed to be some, you know, slutty version of the I don't know what's in Empire Strikes Back, you know, the
movie, right?
Yeah. Star Wars. Are you serious? You can't be serious, right?
I'm not serious. No.
Okay. You got me, though. You're good. You're good. You're good, Adam. The slutty version of the... what's the...
Jabba the Hutt.
The Sasquatch thing, but it's in winter. It's in snow. What do they call that? Abominable Snowman.
Uh-huh.
So the slutty version of that from Empire Strikes Back. And it was basically just a bikini with fur on it, with white fur, and then she had the horns that came out of her head.
Tauntaun.
No, not the Tauntaun, but the monster.
Okay.
That traps Luke.
This got
in the
so
cave.
Nerdy so fast.
No, not at all, man. This is amazing.
Are we in your zone now?
Yeah, if you want us to talk about Star Wars, we can talk about some Star Wars. We'll make you dinner. but so there was a slutty version of that and some sort of like witch kind of thing, and I took a picture of them. And once I took the picture and I was looking at the picture, I was like, no way these girls know anything about what they're wearing right now.
Yeah, for sure. You know? About the character or anything.
But I didn't see them like handing out any like, you know, deja vu cards or anything like that. That'd be a little bit too, I don't know. Yeah. But yeah. I know that a lot of those women get hired to do, you know, be at the booth and chat you up. Yeah.
Distasteful.
Distasteful.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I was actually there 1 year. It was 2 years ago, and the Suicide Girls were there.
Yeah.
And they had this new book of, you know, the pinup girls from Suicide Girls. And I was talking to a couple of them. Some were dressed as slutty stormtroopers. So that was okay, mm-hmm. You know. Since it's in the Star Wars universe, that's fine with me. But it got real weird when, because they were at the same time they were talking to me, they were like, you know, showing like onlookers their book and they were signing their picture for the people that bought the book and stuff. And then this one girl was talking to me and she kind of looked away really quick and she was like, yeah, I'll sign that. And she goes down, and I look down and it's a picture of her and her vagina and she's signing it. That made me a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'm not a prude.
And that was at a Comic-Con.
I'm not totally sure their particular vibe. I think there is some female empowerment component, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe originally.
Yes.
With
yes.
That, those women. But generally, it's not, I don't want my daughter doing that.
No.
You know?
No, sir. No, sir. No. But I'll tell you what, if I was a 13-year-old boy going to Comic-Con and I caught a glimpse of that,
I would have a giant erection for about a year.
Yes, 2 years. And I would be the happiest 13-year-old boy at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, hey, Adam, it's been a great time talking with you. I learned a little bit.
We're really going to end on that now.
Yeah, should we? No. Okay, maybe. What are you looking forward to most at Sasquatch this year?
Oh, golly, it's a great question that I don't have a great answer to. But I'm just generally proud of the lineup this year. There's a lot of my personal favorites, both big and small bands.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to see cigarose out there in front of that landscape for a long time. It's just sort of a, it's very easy to imagine that being completely awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the smaller comedians I am a big nerd about. I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts and that sort of thing. So
yeah,
it's exciting to see them out there attempt to do stand-up comedy with some band blaring in their face. It's always always a awkward moment when they look at me and they can't hear themselves.
Yeah,
but, but we do it anyway because I like it. And so I'm just generally excited about this year in particular.
Yeah, yeah. I'm, you know what? I love that you brought in the comedy component into this festival too. I think it's fantastic, especially since you're having guys like, you know, Pete Holmes and has Brown Oler done it before?
He hasn't, but he's, you know, right in our wheelhouse.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
only a matter of time.
God, his show the other night was so good.
Oh yeah,
it was so funny.
Yeah.
And you know, just kind of the indie comedians, you know, I think it just fits in so well. And they, I mean, you know, it's great for them too, because they get to, you know, get all these people that, you know, probably don't know who they are, or some of them don't know who they are, and they get to be seen by a wide audience.
Yeah, they think they like as well. Well, they like just being there and having fun, but they like being associated with music and that scene, and it all kind of feeds off each other. And the festival has a pretty good track record of picking out these up and coming comics. Anyway, so we continue to do it, even though outdoors at a music festival is not an ideal setting for comedy.
Right, right.
It still feels like an important part of the festival.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool, man. And I'm looking forward to it. I've got to apply for my press credentials again. Even though I'm an old man at heart, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to bring Claritin this year, so I don't, you know, suffer from the dust.
Good call.
Again. And we'll end on that note. Is that better?
That's better.
Is that better? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I really appreciate you coming out, man. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and, hopefully, I just got confirmation from your good, high school or college friend, Larry, that he's going to be there this year.
Oh, good.
And we're going to fight over who gets Daisy Fuentes. So, I like that guy. And Brian, is Brian coming this year too?
He is.
Yes.
I hope. I think he is now.
I love those guys.
Awesome.
Good dudes. Good dudes. Okay. So, anything that you want to plug besides Sasquatch? I mean, you've already sold out the show, so there's really nothing else to do, right?
Correct. No, nothing else to plug, but thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, man. And you can go if, you know, maybe some tickets will become available. You can go to SasquatchFestival.com, check out the lineup, check out all incoming news, and watch some videos and all that good stuff. So do that. You can also check us out, www.air-raid.net, and, you know, go to the archives page, go check out the Macklemore episode, or the Red Fang episode, or the episode with Pete Holmes, or any of these guys that we talk about over and over and over again, because they're great. Okay, guys, we're going to go out today, again, with Japan Droids. This song's called The Boys Are Leaving Town, off of their 2009 album Post Nothing. And we will be back next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one.